Neville 103.5, Your Life, Your Music. Friday morning, 28 before 10 o'clock. Just about time for me to wrap it up, but I'm not quite there yet. Now, I've gotten rid of Donnie, finally. I tried so hard to get him out of here. No, I'm just joking. It's not that bad. We actually enjoy having him around. Cycling next. Tour de Windhoek is on the way. It's only, about a week or so? Right? Next weekend is when it's happening. So, I see a lot of people really focused, really intensely prepared for Tour de Windhoek. Are you ready to go? I mean, Jana, you are one of the well-known cyclists in Namibia. So are you ready to go?
You know, you can always be as ready, eh? But ready we definitely are. Excited much more.
Okay, so tell me which team do you ride for?
So we ride for the Pupkewitz Megabull team. They are also the sponsors of this event.
That's right. And Michelle, you're the captain of the team, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so you are here to just check that Jana says what she's supposed to say.
Shame. No, I believe she can do it well.
Okay, so let's just quickly, I mean, in all seriousness, when you're talking about cycling, and are you the person on the road who decides the peloton is doing this, we're going to do that? Can you communicate that? Are you allowed to communicate that to your team members and say, listen, there's a breakaway, try and get on it, or chase them, or whatever you're going to do, right?
Yes, usually you try to have more or less, if I can use the word, game plan.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't always work out as you set it to be.
Okay.
And you have a word here or there in the peloton, but it's sometimes difficult. You need to look for your other riders and see where they are. And if there's a break or a gap or something, you quickly need to react if possible, see what the rest of the cyclists
Okay, so you know, we normally see the Tour de France and all of that, and it's radio communications and the team cars are behind them and all that stuff. You guys don't have that. So how do you know when there's been a break? Does the word just get passed out? Oi, en is weg voor, plan maak. It's not quite that, right?
Yeah, so we've got different roles that we all play in the team.
Okay.
We've got our workers, we've got sprinters,
And you have a queen bee, of course, who's like...
We have a queen bee.
So what do you do, Michelle? Are you a worker or are you the boss in charge? Like, it's like, jylle gemeito.
She's the boss.
Okay.
Usually, you need to have a stable rider or a strongish rider to try and have an overall good position.
Yeah, yeah, that's your general classification rider.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And then if it's possible, there's the sprinters and there's the climbers.
And you try and have a combination of all of those in your team, right?
You try to see where you can get some points and where you can, and then there's a youngest rider as well. I think this year the youngest rider jersey will be quite a challenge.
There are a lot of youngsters out there.
There's a lot of not Namibians necessarily. Yeah. We have one or two good under 23s, and but from South Africa, there's a bunch of cyclists coming. There's a South African team, and there's some South Africans in our team as well. And I think the competition there will be quite good.
Okay, so there we go. Johan is here as well. Johan, who do you ride for?
I'm also a part of the Megabull team, the male team.
So you have a men's team and a women's team. Obviously, as naming partners and title sponsors, you guys would obviously then have as many teams in there as possible,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And the pressure is on, right? Because, I mean, you kind of would like to be there or thereabouts as sort of the main sponsors.
Well, I must mention the pressure is on me myself. I'm the oldest guy in this team. I'm turning 60. End of May, and I'm pushed in this team.
Is there a special jersey for like geriatric? Sorry, I shouldn't say that. It's amazing to see that at that age you can still be competitive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's strange to get a phone call in the afternoon and guys are telling you have to ride. I said, no, I don't have even a bike. No, we have a bike for you. Just come.
That's always the big excuse. So they first got the bike and then they called.
Yeah,
you, right?
Yeah.
No, we already have that. Yes. So that's fine. Okay, so you, what does that count as? Is that a veteran or is it a master's?
It's master, yeah. Past master. It's grandmaster. Yeah.
there's one final one then waiting to go.
60 kind of thing.
60 categories. So I'm coming from the 80s.
And who the guys with you, their ages on the team? Are they mostly, I would imagine, many much younger riders, right?
Three of us are past the 50s.
Oh, okay.
So we will back up the backside of this team.
Okay.
And three guys are much more younger. There's Hardes and the Chris Huister coming from South Africa.
Okay.
He joined this tour every time, and he asked just to be part of the team
wow.
for this tour also. And yes, he will be here. And he's a strong guy.
Okay, so I know they were talking about UCI, getting it UCI accredited. Mm-hmm. And I know that they couldn't get it done this year because it was apparently it's like a 300-page document that you work their way through. And there wasn't enough time because they had new organizers this year. Mm-hmm. So we're all really keen for next year or the year after. I know Axel and everybody at the Federation are really trying to get it done. And I think that'll be a big shift, all right? Because mm-hmm. once it's UCI accredited, suddenly, especially all the African teams will want to come take part because in terms of competitiveness, it's maybe not as bad as competing in Europe, and it's a lot cheaper as well because you're not talking about, you know, coming from Ethiopia to Namibia, flying here, as opposed to flying to Europe or whatever. So you guys are obviously really hanging for that to happen, right?
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, traveling is quite a challenge. We always joke and say it's yeah. much cheaper to go from Windhoek to South Africa than coming from South Africa to Windhoek. So getting the guys here, the UCI points that they can get,
yeah.
be actually a nice carrot hanging
yeah.
in front of them.
Yeah, then it's worth making the effort and the trouble to come up here because you can get some kind of a tangible reward that
exactly.
contributes. It's not just for practice or for training or taking part in a nice race, right?
Exactly, yeah, because it's expensive. You have to fly down, you have to yeah. have accommodation, you have to eat. So the whole logistics behind it is not that easy, especially flying with a bike.
Yeah, there must be. How do you transport that stuff? Because you don't want it to get to the carousel, and there's this mangled thing lying there, going like, okay, that used to be my really expensive bike.
Yeah, so we've got bike bags okay. and bike cases, but there's always a risk, you know, because
yeah.
You don't know what happens behind those walls.
Yeah, we've all seen the horror stories of in the back where they're just hoying the stuff around.
Yeah,
they don't care.
You must know. They hoy it.
Okay, so I mean, we all have jobs. You guys all work for a living, right? There's there used to be jokes about the rugby players are all photocopy salespeople, you know, back in the day. But so obviously your training time is limited because it you know, you all have family commitments as well and partners and stuff like that. So it's not as simple as 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day training. You eat properly, you hit the gym, and that's what you do, right? So it's quite a leap up from being professionals as opposed to what you guys do, right?
Yeah, so for us, I think we had a chat about this before we came, as we are serious amateurs.
Yeah.
We enjoy the sport. We like being on our bikes. Obviously, we try and do as much as possible.
Yeah.
But having partners and children really also put pressure on your time, because that's essentially what's the most important thing. So we have to define success for us versus success for a professional person.
Sure. And of course, one finds that cycling, in most cases, I think the more mature you become, you reach a peak when you're a little bit older, where maybe in terms of physical strength and speed and that sort of thing, but the tour, they tend to be older riders, which means you're probably already married or in a relationship of whatever sort.
Yeah, and I think for us ladies also, much of us, the ladies is in child, you know, has childbearing potential.
Yeah.
So that also plays a role, you know, having babies.
Sure.
Coming back after your baby. So Michelle just came back. And
Michelle's eye, do you see the eyebrows are like getting higher and higher? It's like, yeah.
So it's challenging.
It's a juggle.
I can imagine, you know, like, what do you even know, Fernand, the feeding, do not also be bicycle, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, that's going to go down the storm.
Come, Daddy.
Yeah. No. Okay, so just very briefly before we get to you again, Johan, because you're probably lucky enough, your kids are probably our house already. At that age, it's like, you know, now
yes.
all my time is mine. So
yes.
all the kids are like...
I'm spending my time between household, working,
yeah.
and cycling. So I'm trying to do at least 4 to 5 times a week a
yeah.
cycling period. But during the week... The maximum time that you have is 1 hour. 1 to 2 hours max, then it's dark.
Yeah.
So the most of the training is going into weekends. Then you can go longer.
That
so
very famous family time,
yes,
when they're like,
yes.
okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to brine? No, we're not. We're going to go cycle.
Cycle.
So yeah, if you have to put the longer time
yes,
in, that's, there's literally
weekends.
Only weekends
yeah.
when people
yeah.
can do that. Yeah,
definitely.
And we see a lot of that. We see a lot of cyclists on the road over weekends.
Mm.
You know, the also rams and so on, but the serious riders are there too.
Mm.
And okay, Michelle, so now we have to ask the question. We're going to ask you first and we're going to ask you, okay, Jana? So what kind of a leader are you on the road? Are you sort of a, I'll ask nicely, or shall I tell you what to do? Are you quite a firm sort of leader? Or
usually I don't have a lot of words.
So strong, silent type, right?
Yeah, I think just through what I do, I try to, hand signs here or there. Or,
okay.
I think some of my teammates already knows when... if I do a certain move or something,
yeah, you guys
are
also probably on the same level. You kind of know what the plan is, and if something happens, and what hand signs do the guys behind her normally show? Also in the same team, I can think of a couple that might pop up. No, I'm not going to chase them again. I'm not going to go fetch food again.
I think we try to be quite civilized. So,
yeah, of course.
So Michelle is the silent leader, which is really great for us. I'm more of the communicator.
Yeah.
So
you're the talker, and she's the okay, cool.
If she's working somewhere or something happens at the back, it's my responsibility to go and communicate what's happening to our team.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a lot of dynamics going on and everything doesn't work out as normally as planned.
Sure.
But we do communicate quite well in terms of that. So, I always joke with her that she puts her head down and do the race. And then I will come and talk.
And Jana comes from behind and tells me, oh, well, that one's off.
You just put your head down and cycle. It's like, actually trying to get rid of you, okay? You're not going to talk somewhere else. But that's the whole thing. Surely it's a quantum leap from having communication systems and things like that and a team car that, you fall back and you see the hand drifting over onto where the window is. And no, nobody's towing me, but the guy's doing 70 and he's not pedaling. It's like, sure. And then, but I mean, that is like real time. And obviously you have these hugely experienced people, these team principals in the car who can give you all that sort of stuff,
right?
Yeah,
there's quite a lot of international riders participating this year. So I think it will be interesting. Our top riders will definitely have a go for their money, and they will be challenged, so we're really looking forward to this.
From the South African teams, and I believe there's quite a few, I believe we're back up now past where we were before COVID. I think they've actually overtaken last year, and this year again there's like 170 or something riders staying part, which is pretty good.
Johan just spoke to Nick, and I think if I'm correct there's almost 200 riders.
They've had more entries.
It's the biggest now, 188 riders. There's 18 teams, of which 8 are South African teams.
Wow.
So it's really
it's
big.
Almost half. Yeah, it's huge.
If I'm taking it back to the 80s, 90s, it was much smaller, but the international teams was not South African. It was Swedish, German, French. It was very nice, and the competitiveness was there, real, real hard. And
I mean, to be honest, I think, we could get back to those days, because once one has things like the UCI, situation in there, there's going to be European teams who are going to come over here because the weather is great. They can get out there, do high altitude training and stuff like that, and get out there. And it's a lovely jolt for them to come over here. But, people from Sweden, it's like, ooh, wild animals. Never heard of those. So it's nice for people to come over here. And I'm really hoping that would happen. South Africa is getting to that point now where a lot of they've got athlete tourism with athletes going there, cyclists going there. Poch is one of those hubs where things are just happening. And all of these people who are renting out little, cottages and things, is it for students? This is for the athletes out there. So it's becoming one of those, and I think we have the potential to be that too, right?
I mean, the climate here is just phenomenal for the international athletes to come here and train here. You see it regularly on the roads. There are international people running here, cycling here, triathlon. I mean, the para athletes is also here, so you see them.
Upside is it's always clean around our roads. Downside, we've got taxis. So
downside is the tax happening recently.
Unfortunately, there's been quite a few of those as well.
Very, very bad.
And we go through those phases, and we're in one of those phases now. So if you are out there cycling, don't do the silly thing. Don't go hit the trails in the bush by yourself. It's unfortunately, it's generally not dangerous, but being on a bicycle, especially if it's a 100 grand bike, and that's what some people ride, it's like, whoa.
200 grand?
Inflation's a bitch, are they? Yeah, look, some of those things, I tell you, I mean, the nice thing about that is you can actually, that's the downside. At that kind of price, they're so light, you just run with it because they are, all carbon fiber and that sort of thing.
Which is a plus point is the roads are being upgraded.
Yeah.
So that's very well, that's good. But the attacks and the safety is a problem,
But at least, for the Tour de Vitic, you guys will be mostly out on the main roads, thereby that new A roads out towards... towards Rehoboth, and of course the new West,
everything
the
Okanya happens,
Road as well. Now it's lovely.
Yeah, but everything happens around Windhoek this year. That you don't have to drive anywhere. So there's no race at the Doornbos Road. It's all literally around the city of Windhoek. Yeah.
Which is also good. Last point we're going to get to is that it is a spectator sport. Yeah. Yes. People go to watch the Tour de France on those mountain passes. It takes them 4 days to get in and out.
Yeah.
They're there and they literally see the peloton go by, and within 10 or 15 minutes,
it's over.
That's it. Then it's another 2 days down the mountain. But it's still... it's a hugely interesting thing to sit and watch, especially when the teams are together and you can see the work that's going in and all that.
Spectator-wise, which is nice about this tour, is on Friday afternoon, they have a individual hill climb stage.
Wow.
Which is on the Kupferberg Road, which is...
Oh, yeah. Now, of course,
now.
A lot of that is, is the whole thing tarred already? All the way to Border up top?
No, not to there. I think almost, we call it the Boomer, trees, the Boomer.
The Boomer, okay. Yeah. All right. I know that. I've been up there a couple of times. I always say, why would I do that?
That's but just past Armani Lodge.
That's not bad at all.
And then the Saturday afternoon, they have the Criterium.
Yes.
Which is
that's
at Bukovits
very nice to sit and watch because... they come past
the
lot.
Very spectator-friendly,
Okay, so be sure that you're out there. And, of course, if you're going to be on the roads, if you're not going to be watching the cycling, please take it easy on the roads. Just don't get worked up. This is an international-level, event. We don't want people taking other people out. Relax, Frikkie. You can your GTI. You was anders gaan rijden. Just relax. Let us cyclists at least have our... I'm going to get moored. I'll tell you.
Relax, Frikkie, you say.
But anyway, so yeah, it's going to be good stuff. You guys obviously looking forward to this. So what do you guys do to like... at what point do you stop training? If you guys are starting on, what is it, the 2nd? 2nd of May, right? So next week.
The 2nd to the 5th,
So you go, when do you stop training, when you start tapering, getting ready?
So I don't think you don't really stop.
Okay.
What we have now is we've got the XC races also for this weekend.
Ooh, are you guys all taking part in that as well?
So
off-road stuff, right?
Yeah, so that is part of that. So I think you just taper and go slower and it's harder so that your legs don't, stop. That you keep your legs rolling. And then do a nice activation ride the day before the event so that your legs...
And your nice activation ride would for us be Leifstraf, right? I mean, what is an activation ride? That's 75Ks, no problem.
Yeah, so it's normally it's about an hour, and then you do
which is also kind of... That's also kind of deceptive. Efforts. For you guys, an hour, and for us, an hour. For me, an hour is 20Ks. For you guys, an hour is probably like 40Ks. Yeah,
it depends on which bike you are as well.
There comes the 200 grand one
again.
Nice.
You see, you don't get dressed for anything less than an hour.
Yeah, but you guys are like supermodel. I don't get out of bed for less than 10 grand. I don't get out for less than 75Ks. Okay, guys, listen, have yourself a great one. We're really looking forward to this one. There's quite a buzz about it this year. Yeah. I know, obviously, Pupkewitz Mega will put in almost $500,000, their contribution. So it's great to see that.
I think we're really grateful because they've been the title sponsor for a few years now.
Yeah.
And they just, they're all in and they're supporting us so well. And I think it's great that they bring this to the table and we should support them back.
Exactly. Show your support for cycling by voting with your wallet. Simple as that. All right, guys. So we wish you all the best. And I'm going to say break a leg that we normally say to people in theater. And then with cycling, I don't think that's good. Johan, one more word from you.
Yes. As Jana said, it's great to be part of this team. I think I'm one of the older guys. Will be much longer on the road for advertisement, so check out. I'll be there.
it's an age thing. So, you'll be there for us grey-haired guys.
Yes.
And if the youngsters are like, hey, Akis, shut up. I've been there. I've paid my dues. Absolute pleasure talking to you guys. Thank you so much. And, can't wait. It's going to be a good one.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.